Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark, looking at chapter 6, verse 14 onwards. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. Thank you for your Word, which is true and rich, pure and holy. We ask that you would bless it to us, use it to encourage our hearts, that we might grow in our faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted him to be put to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. And he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias's daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. And she went out, and she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Well, why does Mark introduce this section right here? I don't know if you have got the impression, but if you read the wider context as we've been journeying our way through, it feels a bit jarring, doesn't it? You're sort of journeying along with Jesus and you're hearing about Jesus and hearing about Jesus. We haven't heard about John in ages. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, John the Baptist pops out. Well, I think that Mark's put it here for a quite express purpose. It's one of two things. Now, one, he could just doing it because John's name got mentioned. And that's a fair justification. We remember the disciples had been sent out, and as the disciples had been sent out proclaiming the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God, obviously that traveled. And as that traveled, we see that in verse 14, Jesus hears of it. So Jesus hears of this message being preached and people being healed, miracles being done. And he goes, well, this has got to be John the Baptist. Now, Mark, mentioning John the Baptist, probably thinks to himself, well, I should probably explain what happened to him, because I haven't spoken about him since chapter 1. I think there's also another underlying idea, and that has to do with discipleship. If you put this in its wider context, just the very near wider context, we see back at the beginning of chapter 6 that Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. And then he went and taught. We saw in verse 6 that he went and taught among the other villages because the Nazareth people, the people from Nazareth, had rejected him. So he went and taught elsewhere. And then from verse 7 onwards, we saw Jesus sending out his disciples. And being rejected, he now warns his disciples of rejection and tells them what to do if that's the case. We then get to John the Baptist. And then after that, we're going to end up in verse 30 with the apostles coming back and reporting to Jesus on how their time went, how the ministry went. So if you put that together, I think John Mark is intentionally putting the story of John the Baptist right here so that he can flesh out a bit further the reality of discipleship, the reality of following Jesus Christ. And so there's many different things that we could unpack from the story. We could look at Herod or Herodias. We could look at the party and focus upon the sin there and the danger of what he does marrying this woman and committing horrible acts. But I think it's better this time, at least, if we focus upon John the Baptist and ask ourselves the question, what is Mark trying to tell us about discipleship and gospel ministry? And I think there are four things in particular that we see in this passage. Firstly, the gospel requires us to be steadfast to the truth. Have a look at verse 17 with me. Start at verse 16. When Herod heard of it, he said to John, whom I beheaded, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. Why? Because his brother, Philip's wife, he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So, the gospel requires us to be steadfast to the truth. Now, John had been imprisoned. He had been imprisoned for a specific reason. And he could have got himself out very easily. If John the Baptist had just turned around to Herod and said, well, it's okay. You're allowed to have Herodias as your wife. That's completely acceptable. If he had said that, he would have gotten out of jail. But rather, John the Baptist is steadfast to the truth. He holds firm. He takes God's word and he stands upon it. He says, I will not budge. Like Luther, he says, my conscience is captivated by the word of God. So I'm going to stand upon it. And that's a good lesson for all of us. You see, it's not just the Baptist preacher, proclaimer, prophet. It's not just preachers, but it's for every single one of us. We all need to steadfastly hold on to God's word, not budging one inch. Notice, secondly, that the gospel requires great courage to do great things. Can you imagine how hard it must have been for John the Baptist to go into Herod, to go to Herod and to say to him, you cannot have that woman? You can imagine the different people saying, don't say that, John. You're just going to get yourself in trouble. Look, you don't need to be that blunt. You can say it gently. It's not that big of an issue. You know, we've got more important things to focus on right now, like baptizing people. If you do that, you might lose your ministry. You might lose your safety. But John ignores all of that because the gospel sometimes requires us to do hard things that are not safe. And so John the Baptist throws all that stuff out, boldly walks in and says to Herod, the king whose life he has the power to take, and says to him, you shall not do that. It is adultery. It is sin. And you must repent and turn to God. Now, you and I probably aren't called to do something like that. But we are called to confront one another in our sins, aren't we? We're called to rebuke one another when we sin and to call out brothers and sisters who are slipping that they might not fall completely. And it does take great courage in the gospel to take the gospel and go to our loved ones and say, don't live like that. It will only end in sadness as you walk away from God. Notice, thirdly, that the gospel requires us to look to eternal hope. You know, in verse 27, we read those really sad words. Immediately, the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. You've got to ask yourself the question, what does John think when the executioner walks through the door with an axe? And John says, oh, is it my time? What happened? And the executioner says, well, a girl, she danced really well. And so the king promised to cut your head off. Where do you look in that moment? Well, your only hope is to look above, isn't it? Your only hope in that moment is to look to eternity and know that the truth of God and the gospel of Christ is worth losing one's head for. That there is an eternal hope which is greater. Fourthly, more briefly, the gospel requires self-denial and great sacrifice. So we see that in what we just said, but notice also how he gets buried. When his disciples heard of it, they come and take his body and lay it in a tomb. Notice his head's not there. The head goes to the daughter, Herodias' daughter, on a platter. And John the Baptist gets buried in shame in the world's eyes. In shame, headless. You see, following Christ and the gospel requires us to give up all signs of personal glory, all signs of pride. It requires us to humble ourselves and follow Christ, no matter the cost. It requires us to stick to the truth with boldness and strength, knowing that there is an eternal home which is far more glorious than this one. After all, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is going to say, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" Isn't that just the picture of John the Baptist? He denied himself, he took up his cross, and he followed Jesus, and he lost his head for it. But he was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of Christ. And on that day, when Jesus comes in his glory, he will not be ashamed of John the Baptist. And he won't of us. Let us follow him with all courage. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this example in John the Baptist, and we pray that you would help us to be faithful disciples too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks very much for joining me for another day. I'll see you tomorrow.